Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A rich master, a manager of the master's house, and a few debtors. It sounds like it could be any one of a number of parables that Jesus told his disciples. But this parable is much more difficult to hear and understand, and it is much different than any other parable that Jesus ever told. The manager of the house was found to be cheating his master, and as you might expect, he was fired. He was asked to give a final accounting of his work and turn in the books before he left the premises. The steward of the house was in deep trouble, and it was of his own making. He couldn't dig, he was too proud to beg, but like all who are devious, he was able to quickly devise a plan to benefit himself, a plan that would make use of his generous master's money, which would gain him favor with friends that would help him when he was then forced to leave his home and work. He called the first debtor in and he cut the man's bill in half. 400 gallons of olive oil simply written off the bill. No small amount to be removed and yet stolen from his master without a second thought. He cut the second debtor's bill as well. 200 bushels of expensive wheat no longer owed to the master. No one would have been surprised if when the master found out about this, he had the man thrown into prison, for he would have been completely justified to do that. But that's not what the master did. What he did is surprising. What he did makes this text very difficult for us to understand. He commended the dishonest manager. He commended him for acting so shrewdly. Now, the text doesn't say that he commended the man for his dishonesty. Rather, he commended him for his realization that if he was going to survive, he would only survive by making use of his master's means. Even though this parable involves two worldly men, Jesus spoke it for a reason. We can obviously learn something about our Heavenly Father from it. Our Heavenly Father is very much like this merciful Master, and we are very much like that unjust manager who squandered the Master's wealth and did not represent his good name well. Like the unjust steward, nothing we have is our own. We are only rulers over that which God has given us. And we are not very good rulers at that. If our Heavenly Father, our Master, were to call for an accounting from us this very day, what would he find? What would the books show about our stewardship? You know as well as I do that he would find that we have stolen from him by not giving him his honor or his tithe. He would find that we have wasted the time, talents, and treasures that he has given us on loan, that we have not used what we have been given to serve others, but only ourselves, that we have been selfish and sown so sparingly that we can hardly expect a harvest. In short, he would see that we, just like this unjust manager in the parable, have squandered our master's wealth and abused his good name. Our Heavenly Father didn't give us possessions and talents and treasure in order to serve ourselves, but so that we can help and serve our neighbor. That is the meaning of the phrase in this text, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The manager in Jesus' parable, at the end, wanted to use his master's money and his master's good name in order to make friends for himself, friends that would welcome him into their homes when the money was gone. Even though he learned it too late, that is what the master commended him for. Your master wants you to use his love and generosity and mercy and treasure that he has loaned you for a time in the very same way. He wants you to use his goods to help your neighbor, to gain friends for yourselves who will welcome you at the gates of heaven when you enter into your eternal dwellings. You see, God doesn't need your service or your work. God doesn't need your time or your talents. He doesn't need anything that you have. He gave it all to you to begin with. But your neighbor does need your work and service. Your neighbor does need your time and talents. Your neighbor needs to hear what you already know, that the Master is merciful and generous, and that he loves you. So are your thoughts and deeds for your neighbor and his safety and health and spiritual well-being, or are they just for yourself? Are you making friends that will usher you into eternity, or friends that can pay you back and who will welcome you into their homes built with unrighteous mammon? Money and possessions have been given as a gift by God to be used in service to other people. Sure, we need to feed ourselves and clothe ourselves, but he has given us so much more than that. As the text says, the people of this world know that this is true. They understand it quite well. They use their money to buy friends. They use their money to buy those people who will welcome them when they have a tough time. But what about the children of men? What about the children of light? Will we hoard our money and possessions, or do we share them as God intends? Do we end up worshiping and serving our amassed riches, or do we serve our neighbor? You have heard it said, and it is true, you cannot serve both God and money. One must be master alone. We have established from the parable that our master wants us to use what he has put us in charge of in generous service for other people. But we don't instinctively like to give up those things that we have been given or that we have gained by our hard work. This is especially true when we begin to think that we are entitled to what we have earned, that we deserve the blessings that God has given us. Or we begin to factor God out of the equation and somehow think that we have done it all and he has done nothing. If, however, we begin to realize that everything that we have, our money and possessions, our food and clothing, our house and home, our family and friends, everything that we need to support this body and life have come to us from our Master, then it is with great joy that we can begin to share with other people, knowing that our wealthy, generous Father has much more left over for us. The unjust steward in this parable was motivated to use his master's money to make friends in order to save his own skin, because he knew that very soon he would be thrown out into the streets with nothing. But our motivation to make friends with our master's wealth comes from a different source. It comes from our Heavenly Father, who didn't just reduce our debt or cut it in half, but who totally and completely canceled the debt that we owed in his own Son, Jesus Christ. Many people have looked at this difficult parable and said, there's no way the rich master in the parable can be a picture of the Heavenly Father. They say this because the Heavenly Father, in their opinion, would never commend an unjust man who had squandered his master's wealth or cheated his neighbor. But that is exactly the point. Our Heavenly Father did commend unjust and dishonest men and women. He has commended each of you. Not because you are a good sinner, or because of your shady, selfish, earthly dealings. He has commended you for his own sake, because of his Son, Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ, when you are called to make an accounting for your life and for all the treasure that you have been a steward over, the Master will look at you and see the blood of Christ and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." For in the blood of Jesus Christ you have been forgiven for not giving God what is due to him, for wasting your time, talents, and treasure that you have been loaned, for not serving your neighbor with all that you have, for taking for granted the good things that your Lord has given you, and for even placing something so base as money before your Lord and God. When your heavenly Father looks at you, he doesn't see an unjust steward and sinner. He sees a saint who by baptism has been covered in the blood of the Lamb. Because of Jesus Christ, you will be welcomed into your heavenly Father's eternal dwelling. As you can see with this difficult parable, God's ways are certainly not our ways. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. Jesus served God perfectly in the place of all humanity, and you get the benefit of his service. He served God in your place. He rejected all the sparkly things and the treasures of this world, and he took on the cross and bore it with joy, so that you could have the greatest treasure of all, heaven. This treasure can't be earned. It can't be bought. It is only given as a gift. And it has been given to you. Your Master is a very rich and very generous man. He has given you charge over many of his possessions, and his generosity never runs out. Give away his mercy. It never runs out. There's more. Give freely of his forgiveness, for there's plenty more from where it came from. Love without ceasing, because his cup runneth over. Your Master didn't forgive just a portion of your debt and send you on your way to work out your own salvation. He didn't write in a lower amount in order to serve himself. He forgave the entire debt for you. He paid the price with his own blood. What a good and generous Master we poor, miserable stewards have. Rejoice in his forgiveness, his riches, and his gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.